but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I got an email about 10 days ago from our next guest, Andy Krakauer, who grew up knowing Lucy Reed or Lucy Rogers. For people who read me at johncanzano.com, you know I wrote a column on Sunday about an amazing woman who died at the age of 96 last week. She lived on a farm at the end of Rosemont Road in West Lynn. Her family had chickens and sold eggs to survive during the Great Depression. Lucy Reed died a week ago today in a small bed that was wheeled into the living room of her three-bedroom home in Corvallis by hospice workers. She was surrounded by her family. I spoke with her a couple of times in the last 2 weeks because of our next guest. Now, our next guest, Andy, is not one of her kids. Andy, though, was one of the surrogate kids that Lucy helped raise, one of about 30 kids who just showed up and hung out at the house and became kind of an extended part of Lucy Reed's family. Her legacy is very layered. Three daughters and a son, huge sports fan, avid reader, school teacher, 70-year Oregon State football season ticket holder. Her last season was on the newly constructed West Side, club level, 30-yard line front row. She told me the new side is pretty fancy. She was hooked on sports as a college freshman in Corvallis. She loved football, baseball, basketball. She rooted for the Beavers. Jimmy Anderson, the late Oregon State basketball coach, and his wife, Fifi, lived in the house next door. Lucy told me that was a lot of fun. There's always people over. So Lucy spent last Monday surrounded by her children, laughing and catching up and telling stories, and then retreated to bed and closed her eyes for the final time in the late afternoon. Andy Krakauer, one of many kids who grew up referring to Lucy as his second mom, is joining us now to talk about a pretty special lady. Andy, thanks for making time. Thanks for the original email. What made you reach out to me?
John, thank you. Just knowing Lucy for as long as I did, knowing her tremendous love for anything Oregon State sports, you know, and having seen you do some human interest stories from time to time, I just thought it would be something worthy to share. Just a phenomenal woman that deserved to have her story told.
Tell us how you knew her. How did you come to know Lucy and get to know her as your second mom?
Well, her son Jim is my age. We met in sixth grade, went to different schools, but met, I think, playing basketball. Ended up going to Western View Junior High School together, where we became best friends for life. And, you know, I think I spent more time at their house than my own house when I was a kid. When his parents traveled, he'd stay at our house. When my parents weren't around, I'd stay at their house. Worked for his dad several summers. His dad ended up, after driving a chicken truck early in life, he ended up owning some rental properties in Corvallis, and his son and I used to do a lot of work on those. They were kind enough to take me with them to Lake Shasta for many summers. Started out camping in the dirt and tents, then they progressed to a camper, then they progressed to a motorhome, but they just always included me as part of the family.
I am grateful that you put her on the phone with me and connected us, and I talked to her a couple of times, and I wrote the piece if people want to read it at johncanzano.com. But Andy, you know, the final time that you saw her was on Monday, but I want to go back. I want to go back to the final sporting event. She was 70-year season ticket holder. You took her to a baseball game against San Diego at Goss Field, and That was her last time there. It was a Friday night game. It was a cool Friday night. Oregon State won the game 11-3. Can you take us back to that? Like, she was aware that that was her last game.
Yeah. You know, we drove up as close as we could to the entrance. Up until that point, she had gotten a ride with a good friend of hers, and they'd walked from the parking structure. I said, Lucy, you don't need to be walking. It's cold out. So her son and I took her up. She walked in, went to her normal seats, was bundled up. That picture you put in your column the other day was from that game with her down coat on. And lately, you know, at 96, she'd go for a few innings and usually have to leave. And that night, if folks that were there, it was a cold night at Goss. And we kept saying, Lou, you probably got to go home. And she kept saying, nope. I got to stay as long as I can because I got a feeling this is the last Oregon State sporting event I will ever attend. So she kept arguing with us, and she stuck around till middle of the seventh inning or so, and then she went home after at least seeing a victory for her last Beaver sporting event.
I am, taking that 70 years as a sports fan is a long time to be at the stadium. What was it like to watch a game with Lucy?
She'd get upset if people interrupted with her concentration, whatever game it might be. Like you mentioned, the news side at research, she had seats in the front row and the upper level so that nobody could stand up in front of her. She had seats on the aisle at Goss so that nobody could get in her way, and she had seats front row of the level above the floor at Gill. She would concentrate on the game, and she'd keep track of everything that happened. Although I will tell you, she got in a little trouble at the age of about, it must have been 91, 90, 92. Her son was in the beverage industry, beer business, as was I for quite a while. And she smuggled some bottled beer into Goss at 92 years old. One of the assistant athletic directors, I'll leave unnamed, saw her hoisting a bottle, and he went down there and said, Lucy, you can't bring bottles in here. You can't drink that in here. And she looked at him and said, you know that my son works for this company, and you know that Andy works for this company. And he very politely took the two or three bottles she had with her, and he gave her a couple of cans of beer and said, you can drink these. And he was shocked because, like, a week later, I was up in the Beaver's box with him, and I went down. I saw Lucy sitting down there, so I went down to talk to her, and I came back, and he said, do you know that woman? And I said, yes, I do. Well, you know, I took beers away from her last week. I mean, it was classic Lucy. She
I love
had
it.
To smuggle her own beer stadium.
I love it. Andy Krakauer is our guest. You were, one of those kids that hung out and got to know Lucy. And the final time you saw her, her kids are around. I know you were very close to one of her son. What was that like? What was the mood? As you know, she knew that was it. Did she not?
Yeah, she did. She was smiling. We told stories for 4 hours or so. We kept asking her if she needed to take a nap. Several times she said yes, and she kind of shut her eyes, and we'd go in the kitchen, and we'd start talking, and she'd get mad at us. Get back over here. I'm missing out on the stories. Get back in here. And then, 1 o'clock or so, one of the sisters said, Mom, you look like you need another nap. And she was silent for a minute. And she said, yeah, I do. Get the hell out of here. Love you guys all very much. And I kind of took that as a cue. It was time for me to head back to West Lynn. And I got back up here, and about 4 o'clock, her son called me and said that she had passed away at 4:30. So she knew. She'd heard stories for 4 hours, and she knew it was time.
The passing of someone in their 90s, and I had a grandfather who lived in 94. He had told me at one time, Andy, he wanted to live to be 100. And then I remember I had lunch with him. He was 92, 93. And I said, you still want to live to 100? And he said, nope. And so, you know, he died at the age of 94. There was a sadness because there's a finality to someone's life. But that is a really good life. And it is a long life. And I think for a lot of us, if we knew that, you know, we could make 96, we'd be real happy with that. What was the feeling with her kids? Obviously, sadness with the life coming to end, but also, I mean, you kind of, in those final hours, are you not admiring the job she did and all the people she impacted and the games and the things she saw? You know, what was the feeling there?
Well, it was just, you know, it was incredible joy and incredible sadness both at the same time. You know, we were sitting there and she had a picture on the wall in the living room of all her kids, all their spouses, the 32 grandkids and great-grandkids. And, you know, we all just talk about what a tremendous impact she had on so many people in a huge extended family. And then all those other people that weren't officially her family, but were all those people she sat with for 70 years at Beaver Games, all the kids that hung out at her house for a long, long time. And, you know, I think you might have mentioned it in your column. You know, she was always helping people. She was helping people up to the end. But one of the sisters, Liz, told me that morning when I got there, she's like, Andy, I didn't get any sleep the day before. I drove down here from Coeur d'Alene. I'd gotten up at 3 to do some things. 5:30 in the morning, I hear a smoke alarm going off, and I smell smoke. And I go to the kitchen, and Lucy had gotten herself under her walker, gotten out of that bed. And Lucy was in the kitchen cooking eggs and potatoes for all the kids at 96 on her last day. I mean, that was Lucy. Always wanted to take care of people every minute of every day.
What'd she teach you, Andy?
She taught me that, you know, there's a lot of tough things that happen in life and you can bounce back. She, you know, lost her first husband due to a tragic accident, lost her second husband. You know, she'd always talk about growing up with nothing. And that you always hang in there and you always take care of people. Things seem to work out in the long run, you know. In the classic thing, keep your chin up, work hard, treat other people with respect and treat people well, but don't give in to things you don't believe in, and things work out okay. That was Lucy.
Andy Krakauer, I really appreciate you reaching out, helping the rest of us know Lucy, and, you know, opening the door so that I could get to know her a little bit, introduce her to other people. Lucy Reed, also, Lucy Rogers, died last Monday at the age of 96. Andy, keep up the fight, my friend.
Thank you very much for honoring her. I appreciate it. So does her family.
There he goes. Andy Krakauer. If you want to read the piece about Lucy, go to johnconzano.com. Leave it here.